Max Studio in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. We're joined by the best and the brightest from around the Packers blogosphere on our live chat, including Jamie Snowden and Alex Talish. So, Mr. Banky, why don't you tell us what is on tap tonight?
Tonight, we'll be talking all things Packers as we get ready for the season opener in Chicago. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got Brett Hundley.
I gotta say, looking much better than I expected.
Ragion Neal.
Making a bid for the 53.
Jeff, I'm from Wisconsin, Janice.
The 9 route called, It's All You Know.
And we got the bad, we got Tim Maste.
Officially time to worry.
BJ Raji.
Pulling a disappearing act.
Sam Barrington.
What a pathetic performance.
And we got the ugly. We got Randall Cobb's injury.
Oh, Lord, can we stop with the injuries? Although it does sound as though Randall will be there week one. The AC joint separation, not as bad as feared. AC joint sprain, sorry. So, Corey, how the hell are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm getting back into the switching game here on Packer Transplants.
We haven't done a Packer Transplants.
It's been a while.
You know what? Wait.
Last time we were in Stillmank Brewery
Whoa, this literally just hit me. The last time Jared Abadaris practiced is the last time we did a Packer Transplants. What happened today? Jared Abadaris had his first practice since injuring himself. And what happens?
We have a transplant.
Packer Transplants is back. It's like the stars aligning.
Packer Transplants Live, sponsored by Stillmank Brewery.
Salud. Grab yourself a nice cold Wisco Disco.
Speaking of, we've got a new... Okay, so we're going to do a giveaway, but before we talk about the giveaway, Stillmank Brewery has a new special campaign we're going to be talking about all season long.
Oh, yeah.
You got to go to Lambeau to fulfill this one. You got to be in Green Bay.
Got to do it, people.
You go to Lambeau, you get a Wisco Disco, you post a selfie or a picture of Lambeau with the Wisco in the shot, right?
It's got to be Lambeau Field and a Wisco Disco beer.
Yeah,
these are non-negotiable
whether you're
elements.
In the shot or not is really not important.
We don't care about you.
Wisco at Lambeau is the hashtag, and you're going to use that. You're going to show Stillmank Brewery that you did this, such a thing, and you will get free beer.
They will send you a free beer, or they will get you a free
beer. No, you'll go to Stillmank Brewery, and you shall get a free beer.
So.
And probably more than one, because I can't imagine that many people are going to do it.
Yeah, well, there you go.
We'll see.
But now we're going to create a stampede, and like the state of Wisconsin will be at Brad's door demanding free beer.
Yes, as always. As always.
So, yeah, Stillmank, that was a great experience, just real quickly.
Yeah, that was amazing.
I can't even believe, like, when I said last time we did this was, you know, that first day of training camp, I went back and I listened to a little bit of the last show, and holy cow, there were a lot of people there.
Yeah.
Like, I had forgotten how many people were there.
So thanks again. It looks like there's more people than there were on camera.
Well, I was listening, so I was just talking, like, about their laughter and their jovialness.
Gotcha.
But it was great. And now here we are, all these weeks later, and coming off a really pathetic performance by the first-string defense, causing a lot of consternation around Packer Nation. Corey, what were your thoughts while you were watching the game?
Let's just table that for a second. Because we have a really exciting thing. Today, we launched...
You notice he doesn't want to talk about it.
Just hold on a second. You see, on the thing, it says where it is in the script. We're going to talk about a very special poster we came out with today with our buddy Brent Schoonover, amazing illustrator. He works for, you know, Marvel and DC Comics and, you know, little mags like that.
Yeah, little rags.
And so last year, he did a photo of a Green Bay legend. He did his own illustration every week. And this is the poster that he made, and so he partnered with us, and we've got an idea, okay? So, normally we do Cheesehead TV.
Some kind of
Packer transplant spot. Blah, blah.
I'm watching.
We make you tweet
TV,
to get a giveaway. Blah, blah, so we're going to be giving away this poster, okay? But actually, I'm going to give away unlimited posters, okay?
Unlimited
posters. Not T-Mobile unlimited. Real unlimited. Okay? Nice. So all you have to do is you have to have a tweet with the hashtag GBLegends and at Cheesehead TV. Not a hashtag Cheesehead TV.
No, no. At Cheesehead TV.
At Cheesehead
Again,
TV.
Non-negotiable elements of the tweet.
Yes. If you do these two things and said any Packer, legend, player, whatever.
Any Packer, current
or former.
Or former.
You will get a free poster if they retweet you.
If they retweet you with those two elements in the tweet, free poster for you.
Free poster.
It doesn't sound so hard, people. Corey likes giving away free stuff.
Oh, yeah. I would rather give something away every week, but I want to see what people... I want to see the creative side of Packer fans.
So there you go, people. Now you know how to get a free poster, and it is an awesome poster, I must say.
It is. It's amazing.
I did love how we launched it this morning, and instantly people are like, "Whoa, where's Sterling Sharp?" He's on the poster. You gotta love Twitter, man. Twitter's the best.
Oh, yeah.
Love those. Although I did have someone ask me where Amon Green was, and I was like, I could see a case
no.
for... No, he's the all-time leading rusher.
Get out of
Packer
town.
History. I get it, but I can understand, like, you know, I can understand making a case for Amon Green. But no. What I also loved is that someone tried to make a case for Travis Jervey. So.
Oh, I would rather have Travis Jervey than Amon Green.
Okay, just slow your roll.
FYI.
Just slow down. Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Are you done with your nonsense now?
It's not nonsense. I want to see if people do that.
I'm talking about the Travis Jervey over on.
Oh, yeah. It's time for news.
It's time for news. What's the number one piece of news on everybody's mind in Packer Nation? It's not Jordy Nelson's injury anymore because that's done and gone. That's how long we've been off the air, is that Jordy Nelson has come and gone. The finality of it all has sunk in. They officially placed him on injury reserve today, Tuesday, if you're not watching live. And now... Randall Cobb is injured coming off that Eagles game. What a depressing showing from the Packers. And to, you know, add insult to injury, you've got Randall Cobb injuring himself on the third play of the freaking game. However, Alex Marvez reporting this afternoon that it sounds like Cobb is going to be okay for week one.
I mean, can we just go back to a Packer transplants where everybody was giving me a hard time about the fact that we needed to sign Randall Cobb, okay? Mm-hmm. We needed to sign Randall Cobb.
It does look
it's pretty. It's
it does
pretty.
Look
yeah. But I didn't watch the first preseason game.
Nope.
And
did you watch the second preseason game?
No.
How about the third preseason game?
I thought that was coming up.
No, that was what we just had.
Yeah. No, I didn't watch that either. And here's the thing. Okay, I want to make a case here. I got a new idea here. Okay.
Oh boy.
If I was a coach in the NFL, which is already a scary prospect,
yeah, well,
okay, so let's just table the fact that that could never happen.
So we're entering La La Land.
Yeah. Okay, but here's what I would do, okay? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would pick 22 players,
right,
and I would never play them in the preseason.
So in other words, your starters.
Yes.
You would never play them.
Nope.
Not one snap.
Nope.
In the entire preseason.
Nope.
You know what I got to tell you? I'm not entirely adverse to that idea.
And if that happened, think about it. We'd still have Jordy Nelson for the game one.
Yeah, we would. It's true.
Now, maybe we'd lose him in game one, but at least we would have lost him in a game that mattered.
That was Aaron Rodgers, kind of thinking there after the game. And, it's hard. You know, I understand. I understand.
I don't understand. I mean, basically, it's a huge money play. It's
of course it is.
It's pretty much the we say this all the time,
all right,
but it's gotten more garbage. It is the worst product that I've ever seen in my life.
What's hilarious
it's
now is that now the stadiums are so empty. I mean, it used to be people like were so jazzed up and they would go, but now, you know, people, we've got football in our lives throughout the year now. I mean, the NFL has succeeded in making football a 365-day, you know, topic of discussion / occurrence in our lives, so that when preseason football comes around, yeah, it's great to see the guys back out on the field, but no one really cares, and no one definitely wants to pay full price to go see them in the stadium. In the stadium, we are already not having the greatest experience as opposed to watching the game at home. So why on earth would you drag yourself there and pay these insane prices for everything, parking, the tickets, the concessions, whatever, for a game that does not matter.
Well, and here's the other thing. Like, the Green Bay Packers would actually be okay because they could do family nights, right? They could do four family nights and still make the same money.
And let the second and third stringers play and, like, let them get some reps. I hear you. And I understand, like, okay. Now, on the flip side of that, I understand football coaches when they say, you know, these guys got to get reps. They got to go at full speed. I don't mind them doing that in practice. I mean, they're going to have to at some point, no doubt. And I definitely think they need to get tackled prior to a game, you know, at least, you know, a couple reps of beat of live tackling. But I'd much rather have that in a controlled environment in practice.
I'm surprised Bill Belichick hasn't done this.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm surprised that a coach hasn't tried this.
Like, just pulling all 22 guys.
Because you think that the NFL would find them?
No, of course not. They can't. Why? There's nothing the NFL could do. Absolutely not.
But why wouldn't you? Like, it's kind of like, if you look statistically...
Because, like I said, NFL coaches believe in the idea that you have to get live game reps to get ready.
I bet. If somebody tried it, here's the thing.
Right.
If one team tried it and they made the playoffs...
Yeah, everybody would do it. I don't know about everybody, but a lot of people would start.
A lot of people would do it.
We just got to get you a job as a head coach in the NFL.
Yeah, good luck with that. Let's call Mark Murphy. He'll make that.
Oh, yeah. He's a big fan of the show.
He's a big fan of mine.
Oh, yeah. Big Corey Banky fan. Another piece of news. Latroy Guyon loses his appeal. Will sit the opening 3 weeks. And I tell you what, I would be... I am slightly worried about it just because B.J. Raji has looked so pedestrian. However... Mike Pennell's play has really kind of alleviated my worry in regards to, I'm not saying Pennell's going to jump in and be Guyon, but or even give us what Guyon gave us last year, but he's at least going to, I think he's going to contribute this year. Obviously, there's lots to play out yet. He hasn't even officially made the 53 yet. I think he does, and I think he will definitely help. But Guyon being out those first 3 weeks, especially that second week against Seattle, that really sucks.
Yeah.
Speaking of defensive linemen, Mike Daniels and the Green Bay Packers, broken off talks.
So what does that mean?
Well, it means that, you know, it sounds like, from Bob McGinn's reporting, that Daniels and his agent see the salary cap going up kind of, you know, by large increments every offseason, and they want to get ahead of that curve. They don't want to sign something now that looks like a major bargain for the Packers in, say, 2 years. And I can't begrudge that thinking. I tend to think we're going to end up right where we were with Randall Cobb on this one. We're going to get to, he'll go through the season, he'll play well, we'll get to next offseason. There'll be talk about franchising him, but I doubt they do that. And then, you know, right before the deadline, he'll re-sign with the Packers. That's my gut feeling right now. Now, they could reopen talks at any time. You know, they could all of a sudden, you know, have a flash of activity in the next week and then sign him right before the opening game. That could happen. I don't think that's going to happen, but it could. But ultimately, the news bit is Daniels and the Packers.
I mean, if he ascends like he did last... I mean, if he ascends, he will get paid.
Well, I tell you what. He's got to get healthy because he, you know, sat out practice for quite a little bit and then finally came back and then played in that Eagles game and looked terrible. And I love Mike. Well, you know, we all know. We love Mike here at this show. Been on the show. Gave us a great shout-out at training camp. Love Mike. But he looked terrible against the Eagles. But so did most of the defense. So that's not really saying much.
He gave us a shout out at training camp?
Yeah. You remember the shot when he was going by? He said, what's up, Cheesehead TV?
Oh, yeah. Mike Daniels. Yeah. I thought you meant Mike McCarthy. I was like, well, how did I miss that?
Good old Mike McCarthy gave us a shout out.
That would be sweet.
Yeah, that would be sweet. No, Mike Daniels on a bike. It's in your footage.
Yeah, I know. I didn't pull it. I was going to make it part of the intro, and then I got lazy and didn't do it.
All right. We'll do that next year.
I do have new credits, though, just for Jersey Al, by the way.
And finally, in the news portion of the program, Packers made their initial cuts to get down.
And there were too many to put on the lower third.
The big headliner, obviously, is Matt Blanchard, the quarterback who, once Brett Hundley showed that he could handle the system and make the throws and do everything that was needed to be done, you kind of saw the writing on the wall. Although I will say Matt Blanchard really impressed me just in the time we were in Green Bay to his, you know, very limited time in preseason. Including that Eagles game where I loved his touchdown toss to Jeff Janis. Like, literally, if you go back and watch it, I put a Vine up of it earlier this week. You know how they talk about three-step drops of the quarterback and how those steps are supposed to line up with the receiver's route and et cetera, et cetera. Well, Janis is in the slot. He takes off, beats his guy. It's clear there's a single high safety.
And Blanchard from the shotgun takes like two steps. Now, it looks like it's supposed to be a three-step drop, but he takes two steps and then sees that Janis has beat his guy, sees that the safety is not going to get over, and literally hops, jumps, and like throws the ball as hard and as fast as he can, knowing he's got a touchdown if he can just lay it out in front of Janis enough. And he does, and it's great. And I love that he got to do that. He threw a touchdown at Lambeau Field prior to getting let go. And there's every possibility that they could try and bring him back on the practice squad. I mean, he does have eligibility left. I tend to think the Packers will probably try and maybe even kind of push Hundley onto the practice squad. So I don't even know.
What?
You really think they're going to keep three quarterbacks?
They need to.
Yeah, but because, you know. You think Hundley will. Tolzien's not going anywhere. Tolzien's the backup.
You think Hundley will survive?
Make it through waivers?
That's really the question.
I guess. I mean, he made it to the fifth round with no one picking him. It's not like all of a sudden everyone's going to go, oh, yeah, he lit it up against the Eagles because, you know, he played okay, but he didn't light it up. I don't know. I think, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they took that chance. I'm not saying they will. You know, they may keep three quarterbacks.
I mean, yeah, they probably won't.
Why do you cut to me right when I'm about to snarf?
Well, I didn't know you were going to snarf.
I know, because you made me laugh. Anyway. So, and in the interest of, because these gentlemen have given their sweat and their blood and their life.
You're
going to
actually
here.
say
their names. Javess Blue and Jimmy Hunt were waived injured, so maybe they get a settlement, maybe they come back, who knows. Matt Blanchard, as we talked about, wide receiver James Butler, linebacker Adrian Hubbard, what a disappointment. I mean, I just got to say, I mean, there was so much buzz around him his rookie year, and everyone I knew in the NFL really liked him in college, and I thought, okay, they got a great, you know, prospect here, someone they could, like, work with and build up. And it was funny when we were at camp, it's just you watched him in drills and he's just such a stiff athlete. Like he's not explosive, he's not fluid. So I'm not surprised it's just disappointing. Kyle Sebatek, Wisconsin native, who I actually thought had a chance, and maybe he comes back on the practice squad because I actually liked the little bit that we saw of him. And then tight end Harold Spears were all released today, and we thank them for their contributions to the Green Bay Packers. That's all I want to say about that.
Okay.
And now we come to the morbid part of the evening.
I mean, there's some good news, though.
What's that?
You have to lose it. If you want to win the Super Bowl,
yeah,
you have to lose preseason games.
Yeah, it's kind of
statistically,
a requisite.
It is true.
It's kind of a requisite. And the team that won the Super Bowl, which is funny, is nobody's talking about this. The Patriots looked terrible on offense. Holy cow. I mean, we had Brett Hundley running our offense against first stringers, and he actually could move the ball. Tom Brady and the Patriots, I think they've had two successful drives all preseason.
Maybe his balls are
overinflated, now.
Underinflated
enough. Oh,
no. I wonder what Katie Nolan has to say about that.
Oh, snaps pro. So the Eagles game, let's get it over with. Let's just say, a completely uninspiring effort. And I don't think we can, you know, put any two ways about it. Like, they were absolutely, I mean, uninspired, not up for it, whatever kind of language you want to use, they were not in that game at all on the defensive side of the ball.
If you look at my Twitter feed during that game, it was like, people were like, why am I watching this? I mean, it was really funny.
Yeah.
It was like watching a train wreck, wreck.
I thought Adam has a post up here at cheeseheadtv.com, which you can read about the miscommunication rearing its ugly head in the defensive backfield. And I agree with Adam, as he pointed out, Mike McCarthy name-checking that after the game, which really kind of set off my gag reflex because we all remember the glory days of M.D. Jennings and company back there and pointing fingers after huge completions, et cetera, et cetera. Kind of had that vibe against the Eagles the other night where, you know, here's the thing. Yeah, it's disconcerting. They have guys in the secondary who should be past that kind of thing, but they ran a bunch of base stuff, either mostly cover one or two man, which is basically, you know, a single safety or two safeties and then man underneath. And Chip just kept running, like, you know, rub routes or crossers, stuff that takes advantage of man coverage. And Dom wasn't changing.
Well, who cares?
There was no game planning of it. So we know. If push comes to shove, and we're playing man coverage in the NFC Championship game, if we meet the Eagles there, you know, Chip is going to run a bunch of crossers and a bunch of rub routes, and Dom's going to have to adjust. He didn't adjust at all. the other night, and that's their prerogative. Now, I don't mind that.
No.
I get that. Like, there were plays where Bradford placed the ball perfectly. Guys were beat individually. That's going to happen, especially when you're playing man across the board. They had some man match issues where, you know, two receivers in a bunch set, guys are supposed to take, you're supposed to, like, the nearest guy's supposed to take the in-breaking guy, the next guy's supposed to take the out-breaking guy, or the next guy who breaks, et cetera, et cetera. They had some little miscommunications there. I don't mind that so much because that will take care of itself. Where I do mind is just the complete lack of effort in some places. Like, it was very apparent that it was a preseason game. And these guys, I don't know if the pall of Jordy Nelson's injury was hanging over that team or what, but the lack of effort. I can show you plenty of stuff, especially up front with the front seven, where they're trying to get to the quarterback. I mean, I think the hardest hit Bradford took all night was from Micah Hyde on that play on the goal, down by the goal line, where he smacked him before he completed the touchdown pass. But, I mean, Julius Peppers was playing patty cake. You know, Clay Matthews, I counted three plays where Clay Matthews, the play went to the other side and Clay just stopped. I mean, he just stopped dead in his tracks, stopped trying, not jogging. He just stopped. So that to me is like, I get it.
What is that a sign of?
Well, everything. They're just like Mike even said in his press conference today that, you know, maybe Jordy's injury was kind of hanging over the team. Like, they're all thinking about it, and they're all upset, and they all don't want to get hurt.
I mean, if you're
game.
Clay Matthews, right?
Right.
And you get hurt in a preseason game.
Well, he gets hurt every other day.
But still, right. like the Jordy Nelson injury, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's ridiculous. Like,
I hear you. And, you know, you got to play. And you want to play. And you want to play in games that matter. And you want to make plays that matter. I get all that. I get it. I just think
that's what I mean. Like, what does it really mean when a guy doesn't make...
But you do a disservice to the game. And you do a disservice to yourself.
But back to the original point. Isn't right. the NFL doing a disservice to the game by making these players playing games that are completely effing meaningless?
Well, they're not meaningless to A, guys at the bottom of the roster trying to make the team. That's why I think your thing about not starting the starters, that has some validity to it. But yeah.
I mean, how can you honor the game if the NFL's not even going to honor the game?
I agree. But we also know that oftentimes, when you're not giving 100%, that is when injuries occur.
True.
You know, so
that's true.
There's just so much at play here. And I just think it's one of those games where you just burn the tape. And I know a lot of people came out after the game and were like, oh, they're having real problems here and they're having real problems here. It's like, no, they're not. That's a burn the tape game.
No.
It's a
game. In 2010, what was our preseason record?
Oh, I have no idea.
Exactly. That is my point.
I have no idea.
That is my point.
Yeah. No, I don't. No clue. I do remember, what was it, 2006?
In 1996, what was our preseason record?
No clue. No.
Who cares?
The only preseason game I think I'll ever remember was, I think it was Favre's last year. And we played our first preseason game out in San Diego. And I think it was Favre's last year. But I do remember, like, they hadn't, and something had been written about how they hadn't practiced blitz pickup. And it was so apparent because the Chargers were running like this 3-4 blitz scheme. And I mean, they couldn't pick it up at all. And Favre got like hit and sacked like 3 or 4 times. And it was like the sky is falling. And they went to the NFC Championship game that year. So, you know, preseason is preseason. You never know what the other guy's working on. You never know what your team's working on as far as calls and things like that. So burn the tape and we move on. But we will talk about the offense and the defense.
Yeah.
And for the first time ever. The first time ever in Packer Transplants history tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to talk about the special teams.
Oh, my goodness.
As a dedicated part of the script. Because, boy howdy, do I got some things to say about the special fucking teams. But first, we're going to start with the offense. All right? Let's talk about Don Barclay. Let's talk about the fact that he looked like he was going to get Aaron Rodgers killed those first two games. And then... against the Eagles, still not great, but noticeably better. And the Eagles' front that he was going against, whether it was linebackers or defensive ends, are no joke. Like, that's a very good front that he was playing against, and he held his own. He looked light years better than he did the week before against Pittsburgh. And it helped that he was put in some better positions. He wasn't asked to block James Harrison one-on-one in his own freaking end zone, but I digress. But marked improvement from Barclay, who, you know, David Bakhtiari, thank the Lord, or whoever you pray to, was back at practice today. Sounds like he's en route to be starting in week one. Hallelujah. However, Barclay's improvement is, you know, I can't overstate it enough because I've said it many times. I don't think he's a tackle. They keep repping him there. That's their plan, apparently. You know, that's their left tackle plan if D-back can't play. Okay, from what you saw against the Eagles, there's some promise there. There's some something you can work with. But let's hope it never comes to that.
Yeah.
Next up, we got Montgomery and Janice. Now, you know, we're gonna have to live with these guys. We're going to have to live with them and their growing pains. Now, Montgomery, you saw a drop on a slant pass that was slightly thrown behind him, but he should have caught it. I think it was in the second quarter against the Eagles. And then Jeff Janis, I just want to say, and real quickly on Montgomery, apparently has a hamstring injury now. I mean, can this team just buy a break?
No.
I know. It's the NFL. It's preseason. Everyone's hurt. Anyway. And then Jeff Janis, I just want to talk about this real, real, real quickly. If you go to Aaron Rodgers' locker availability from, I want to say, the last availability he did before the Eagles game. You can go to Packers.com and find it. And you watch, there's at one point, I think about halfway through, there's a question about the wide receivers and getting on the same page and what it takes to get the ball thrown to you.
Oh, yeah, didn't you write a post about this?
No, well, I touched on it, but not this one in particular.
Oh, okay.
Because in this response, Rodgers name checks everybody, every receiver, except maybe like Blue, who just got released, about their work ethic and about taking the work home with them. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, yeah. And then, so the reporter, I can't remember who it was, asks specifically about Jeff Janis. And Rodgers, Jeff Janis was the only one who didn't get props from QB1. The only one. And he said, he continued on the theme from last year about needing to be on the same page, needing to know your stuff, needing to take it home. I'm telling you, read between the lines here, and QB1 is still not 100% happy with Jeff Janis. And you'll notice all these preseason touchdowns Jeff Janis is catching, they're not coming from QB1.
I mean,
and he's had some time to play with QB1. He's not even getting the ball from QB1. I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
I'd like to think that, you know, Rodgers is number blind when it comes to that.
Yeah, well, I think he needs to trust a guy. He needs to trust him in practice.
The guy's on the field. He's running a route.
Well, here's
you're not going to be like, oh, no, I can't throw to him.
Well, no, if he's open, yes, of course, he'll probably let it go. But
I mean, don't you know Jeff Janis is the next coming?
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
According to the Packer faithful.
Man, look, I like Jeff Janis. I hope he succeeds, and I love how fast he is and how much he makes kind of defensive backs look like idiots because none of them think he's going to be that fast, and then he blows right by them. It's great. I love it. I'd like to see it on repeat. I'd like to see it on repeat in the regular season where things are going to be really different. But, yeah, I want him to succeed. I just thought it was a very interesting little kind of back and forth between Rodgers and the assembled media. Now, speaking of the guy who was throwing those touchdowns or a touchdown to Jeff Janis, Brett Hundley, actually it wasn't Hundley, that was Blanchard, but Hundley has been throwing a bunch of balls, and they look good, and I was surprised and pleasantly surprised at how kind of far along Hundley is comparative to where I thought he was going to be. Like, if you had told me, say, back when we were in Green Bay, oh yeah, you see that third preseason game against the Eagles? Brett Hundley's going to start that game. What? I thought.
Yeah, but he's starting because.
No, I know. I'm not saying like, oh no, Aaron's injured or anything like that, or Tolzien's got a concussion or anything. I'm just saying he's been in the NFL since April, and he's going to start an NFL game, preseason or no, against a first string defense, B, a really good defensive front.
Yeah,
and he looked fine. He made all the checks. He made some. Yeah, you know, some. He missed. I think he missed on some reads, but he kept his head. He was looking to pass, not to run, and that was kind of a knock on him coming out, where he would just, like, the first read's not there, he would pull it down and run.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't see that, and he said at his locker afterwards to Rock on the Packers.com, he said, you know, that's something I've been working with Aaron on. I Aaron's the best, you know, like, I've been studying that, like, break the pocket, get out of the wash, and then keep yourself, you know, parallel to the line of scrimmage, eyes downfield, find the open guy. And you saw that once or twice. There was a couple to Corliss where he's He's got he's got tons of room, and you know the kind of the impetus, the feel. We gotta run, but he didn't. He kept running sideways and then found his man. So I wouldn't say shocked, but I was pleasantly surprised. He did very well. And then let's get down to this thing, because we haven't been able to talk about it since Jordy Nelson went down, because we haven't had a show, and here we are, about the Packer offense in general going forward. I don't know how to say this, so I'll just say it. There's every possibility that Jordy Nelson going down not makes the offense better, but makes Mike a better offensive game planner, because he doesn't have Nelson as a crutch to rely on. How many times in the last 2 years, especially early in the year, have we seen the offense struggle, especially out of the gate last year, struggle to get first downs, get to third down, and then basically their third down play was, okay, Aaron, throw it up to Jordy.
Yeah. Or repeatedly. You could even say struggle in the playoffs when they needed a play, when Jordy...
And Jordy's taken away by...
Or he had the draw. He had a couple misses where one was a slant, one was a...
So I'm not saying the offense is going to, quote, be better because Jordy's out, but I am saying it's going to force Mike to get back to what he does so well in his designing his game plans and his offense around multiple personnel, multiple different formations, lots of different sets, and lots of kind of screwing with
the
defensive
coordinator. He's not play calling this year.
No, I know, but he is going to be implementing the game plan.
No, I know, but he's not play calling.
Thanks, Corey. Newsflash.
Just FYI.
I didn't know.
Well, just in case. I'm glad you're here. I know you're at FanDuel now, so you don't really focus on the Packers
much. You're right. But no, seriously, though, they're going to have lots and lots and lots of kind of stuff, you know, like three tight ends one play, and then four wide receivers the next play.
Three tight ends,
and then
really?
Three running backs and a wide receiver. Well, if Perillo, I tell you what, if Perillo is okay and his concussion's a thing of the past and he's given a chance, I think he makes the team. And I think Rodgers, Corliss, Perillo, who knows after that. But yeah, we got three. We got at least three. No worries. Don't you worry your pretty little head.
I'm not worried. No. I haven't seen a game yet.
Yeah, I am well aware.
Until I see a game, I'm not going
to
be worried.
Why I have to do all the talking about the
game. I'm not worried. We are going to win the Super Bowl. Nothing has changed in my mind.
All right, well, let's talk about the defense then, because what an embarrassing effort against the Eagles. We've kind of touched on that already, so we can move forward from that. We go right to Mike Pennell, who I think was a lone bright spot. I mean, he just keeps showing up. There's a guy who showed up in New England, showed up against Pittsburgh. He showed up against the Eagles. I love this kid. I think he's got the squad made, and I think he's going to be, if not a difference maker, he's going to be an important part of the rotation along the defensive front. I love this kid. I love watching him kind of evolve. Last year, he was very green. I love where he's at. I think he's going to be a boon, especially against a run, which this defense desperately needs. With Dom playing all those freaking 2-4-5 sets, mm-hmm. that just drive me insane. If he's one of those two, at least on early downs, I think it will help immensely. Especially, obviously, when Guyon's out.
But, cornerback.
Now, you know, it's funny that Bob McGinn wrote a piece about Casey Hayward and his tape study, and it's funny that I got so much response from this.
The wild card.
People asking me, well, what did you think of Bob's piece? And I didn't do it, but I really wanted to respond to everybody with, did you not read my piece earlier this year when I wrote about what Casey Hayward has to work on? Casey Hayward himself responded to it and said, yeah, I know. I got to work on these things. You know, it's like, there's no great mystery. And from what I can tell, Hayward is adjusting to life on the outside, and I think the Packers expected that. I don't know how long they'll wait on it.
Mm. Yeah, but what are the options?
Well, I'll tell you what right now. I would not be unhappy, shocked, surprised, saddened in any way, shape, or form if Ladarius Gunter started opposite Sam Shields on opening day.
Slow down.
But right now, I'm here to tell you.
Oh, my goodness. I knew this was going to happen when we were at training camp. Everybody's talking about Ladarius Gunter. And here we go. Mm-hmm. We always got one player every year, mm-hmm. and he's going to be the second coming. Last year was Janice.
I'm not saying
who never even saw the field
coming.
Until week 11.
Yeah. I'm not saying he's going to be the second coming. I'm saying it wouldn't surprise me.
if he starts at cornerback?
I wouldn't be upset. Nope.
Come on.
Go look at the Pittsburgh
game. Come on.
Go look at the Pittsburgh game, and this is what Bob is talking about when it comes to Casey Hayward. Casey Hayward against Antonio Brown, one of the best receivers in the NFL.
Why did we take a guy in the first round if we're not going to start him?
Just hold on. And he may start too. Any one of those guys could.
But why would you take Gunter over Randall?
Because right now I like what I've seen out of him the most.
But it doesn't make any sense. There's no way you're going to start.
It's not hierarchy. Right now it doesn't matter where you were drafted, baby. It matters what you do between the lines on Sunday. And right now Gunter is up there pressing fools. He's playing man-to-man. And sometimes, yeah, the guy gets by him, but he's right there when the ball gets caught and he tackles the guy for no more gain. Every one of these guys, Rollins, Randall, definitely Hayward, they've had issues. Gunter is the one guy who
has yet to get beat back. I'll bet you $100 that Hayward and Randall are more likely to start than Gunter.
Okay, how are you going to prove that? You going to call
Randall and Hayward to start? If Gunter starts, then I owe you $100.
I'm not saying he's going to start. I said it's not going to be surprised if it happens.
I will be surprised if Ladarius Gunter starts.
Sam Shields played his rookie year and he was undrafted.
He didn't start in the first game of the season.
No, but he played a lot.
Yeah, but you just said start.
I said I wouldn't be surprised. You know why?
I would be surprised.
He's been the best.
I would be surprised.
Out there on an island. You go look at the tape in Pittsburgh, Casey Hayward is giving Antonio Brown like 100 yards of cushion.
If
like
Casey Hayward is not starting Ladarius for the Green Bay Packers on week one.
Playing press man at the line of scrimmage and playing well against one of the best receivers in the game. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it's going to happen.
If Casey Hayward is not starting for the Green Bay Packers, mm-hmm. now barring injury, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Not because of injury. If he is not starting for the Green Bay Packers, mm-hmm. it's not looking good for the Green Bay Packers.
How do you know?
Because we've banked so much on this kid, and we got rid of Tremont.
Now we're getting to the root of it.
If you're going
to
get rid of Tremont, where is the starting cornerback? You cannot win in this league without a starting cornerback.
What if Randall, Rollins, Gunter, one of them is better than Tremont?
That's a big what if.
Well, of course, but so is everything in free agency, letting guys go and that's a really developing big your team. That's part of the game.
What have we been developing Casey Hayward for 4 years?
Yep. This is his fourth year.
Yeah. 4 years.
Yeah.
And he hasn't now been able to stay healthy, telling me,
and he hasn't proven
to be a man
corner.
You're telling me it's not going to surprise you if a kid who basically worked his way up from the practice squad starts.
No, he's never been on the practice squad. He's just undrafted.
Undrafted, right?
Yep. People were scared of his 40 time. But his 40 time doesn't matter in short area speed.
I know there's not a hierarchy, but there kind of is.
There shouldn't be.
There
kind of
is.
You know who believed that?
No, there shouldn't be.
You know who believed that? You know who coached like that? You know who GM'd like that?
But there is.
Yeah. You know who GM'd like that? Mike Sherman. Mike Sherman, who called Matt Bowen into his office to tell him that he was going to lose his job because he was paying the other guy more money. And he had a higher draft status. That's an actual conversation that Mike Sherman had with Matt Bowen.
Yeah, but Mike Sherman, unfortunately, was the GM as well as the coach, which we know how terrible that was. Yeah. So,
but that's my point.
Unfortunately,
that's that thinking.
Unfortunately,
I paid this guy more. He's a higher draft pick. Therefore, he must play. No.
But
whoever puts the best,
I agree with
best
you.
Thing on tape
I agree
is
with
to
you,
play.
But that's not necessarily how it's done.
No, not necessarily.
Ted does give pressure, right?
Sometimes. Which is why I say,
but it's also like,
I wouldn't
if you invest in a guy for 4 years,
so what?
And then you start an undrafted.
If you've got something better, who cares?
But what is that going to do with his confidence?
I don't give a shit about his confidence. He's in the NFL. He's got to produce. He's got to play. He's got to do what he's told to do when told to do it.
I don't think that's going
to
happen.
Oh my God, what is this, Oprah? Good Lord, what is confidence? Get out there and play. Coach called your number. You got to go play. That's just, I mean, this isn't touchy feely time. It's the NFL.
Right.
Good Lord.
You are so full of crap.
I am not. Get out there and produce.
You think a coach doesn't, you don't think Bill Belichick worries about Tom Brady's confidence? Come on.
Yeah, pretty boy quarterbacks. That's a whole
Come
other story.
Come on, dude.
That's a whole other story.
You know how much money you invest in these players? You think about all that stuff. Yeah. You think about their diet. You think about how much they cried today. You think about when they did yoga. You think about all of it, right? You pay people millions of dollars to think about all of it.
Some more than others.
But all of them think about all of it.
Some more than others.
Maybe Mike McCarthy doesn't think about it as much as Bill Belichick. I guarantee Tom Coughlin. Bill Belichick.
I guarantee Tom Coughlin's not.
And Tom Coughlin has not won as many Super Bowls as Bill Belichick. And no. I guarantee you, Bill
Belichick.
He's won
Belichick more than Mike McCarthy, though.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
I'm not going to be surprised.
They think about it a lot. When you spend that kind of money on players, you're thinking about all that stuff.
Yeah, and then
you're thinking about how many times they have sex during
the
week.
You get
beat, you're thinking about how many kids they have. You're thinking about all of it.
And when you get beat, you get benched. That's it. And Casey Hayward's getting beat outside a lot. And then here's the thing. He bumps inside, and he's fine. Like, when they go to zone, and he's a nickel and playing inside the slot, he's great. He's one of the best things on the team. When you bump
him
outside,
that's not what we need right now.
I am aware.
We do not need a nickel corner.
I think the Packers are aware, too.
We need an outside cornerback. We need a shutdown corner. Where is that person?
Well, could be any one of them. Could be Randall. Could be Rollins. Hell, I'll tell you what. Somebody we haven't even talked about yet. Dmitri Goodson, coming back from injury, he played shockingly well against the Eagles. I'm using the word shockingly because I thought this kid was on the precipice of getting cut like maybe 2 weeks ago. And then he got injured, and I thought, oh, God, he's done. And he came back, and he had a whale of a game. You can see there was one play where they ran that little smoke screen out to the wide receiver, and you think, oh, God, here we go. Because whenever they do that, this inevitably – the Packers' DBs get blocked, and it goes for 100 yards or whatever. Goodson came back, and Goodson was playing way off, and he smelled it out. He comes tearing in and just blew up the ball carrier. Like, and that's the receiver, and that's what you want.
Yeah, he was good on special teams last year.
Yes, late in the year.
He was.
Absolutely.
He was a standout.
So it's like even he's in the mix. Like, I don't think he's going to start, but, you know, they have pieces. It's just... figuring out where they fit.
But pieces,
you always knew this was going to happen when they selected two defensive backs in the first freaking three picks. You knew this was going to happen. This is what it's all about. You got to play.
I don't like it.
Opening the first game against the Patriots, Rollins played well, and everyone's like, "Oh, Rollins." And then Rollins had a bad game in Pittsburgh. No, not a bad game, but it's not as good.
Yeah, but
a game.
Still, everybody's about.
And
Gunter.
Randall had his first pick, and then everyone's like, "Oh, Randall."
Everybody's been about Gunter since training camp started.
Everyone's been about the fact that here's an undrafted kid who's playing very well. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. We should be celebrating that. Not looking down our noses at it.
The problem is, here's the problem.
Not pining for former corners who now play for the Browns.
Here's the problem. Here's where the formula comes in. Yeah. I know you don't remember these from school, but okay. The formula is,
I was told there'd
be if Ladarius Gunter is having a good season, that means that our best laid plans for cornerback, GM Ted Thompson, are a disaster unfolding before us.
How do you know Ted didn't know Ladarius Gunter was going undrafted because of his terrible 40 time and said, we're going to get this kid.
That means,
and he's going to compete.
That means Randall was
really
a fail as a draft pick.
No, it
that
wasn't.
Means Casey Haywood was a
where
fail
he was
as an
valued
investment.
Around the NFL.
You know I'm right. So it's not.
No, I don't. In fact, I know you're wrong. That's the best part.
If Gunter is successful, that means that Randall has a fail as a draft pick.
That solved the argument. You know I'm right.
Yeah.
Oh, of course. Sorry. Thank you.
Yeah, you do.
You know I'm right. Oh, shoot. You're right.
If Randall is a fail as a draft pick and Casey Hayward is a fail as an investment.
You don't want anyone being a failure.
Just saying.
You have to play the dudes who are playing well. It doesn't matter where they're drafted. And nobody failed anything.
So far.
Yes, you're right. The ultimate test will come.
Yeah,
but
when we're
right
actually
now.
Playing games that matter.
Yes, when you watch. See, maybe if you watch some preseason, you'd know about
matter.
This stuff.
It doesn't matter.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we got all this. Hey, speaking of the defensive backs, and speaking of
still
a
right
defensive
about
back, you're not right.
I am.
You're totally
I am.
Wrong.
You're totally not wrong. You're not actually.
You're
not
totally
actually
wrong.
Listening to what
I'm listening
saying,
to every word you're saying,
but it's,
and
it's
you're
completely
totally
right.
So
that's
good.
So that's okay.
Sean Richardson. Remember this offseason? Sean Richardson getting like $3 million basically guaranteed to come back because the Raiders tried to sign him, and Ted Thompson, I guess, felt he couldn't live without him. He's got all this cap space, could do all this other stuff, but nope, got to pay $3 million guaranteed for Sean Richardson, who I guess was supposed to be some kind of special teams demon. Nope. Hasn't particularly shined on special teams so far, but, you know, maybe that's coming in the regular season. Maybe they're waiting to unleash the Sean Richardson package on punt coverage. I don't know. There was also talk of trying to get him more involved on defense. Early on in camp, we saw and we read about and we heard about how much they were including him in different defensive packages and going to try and get him in. Well, so far, the returns have not looked too great. He has repeatedly been out of position or been beaten. His tackling has seemed suspect. Like, $3 million guaranteed for a total role player that we absolutely could have lived without. Really wondering now, you know, where, you know, if Sean Richardson will ever make this look like a
$3 million isn't that much money, by the way.
It is for a bit role player who doesn't contribute. Like, if he ends up the year, like,
Jared Bush made $3 million over his time at the Packers.
Oh, and don't eat. Corey.
Just FYI,
why
Jared Bush
this?
Made at least $3 million with
and
the Packers.
And he contributed.
As a bit player. For what? What did he contribute at?
He gave us an interception in the Super Bowl.
And he also didn't fall on the ball in the NFC Championship game.
Interception in the Super Bowl. It's the biggest game of the year. It's this thing they won a couple years ago. I'll send you the tape. It's good stuff.
I was there.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's probably why you don't have the tape. You've probably forgotten it.
I don't
need
the
tape.
You
were blind drunk when
no,
you were
I don't
it,
get
clearly.
Blind drunk at games. You know this.
You
because
should,
I do not
remember that Jared Bush had an interception.
Because I do not like to pee at the stadium. I like to actually watch the game. I'm not in the bathroom. I'm watching the game. Okay? So that's in it's in my
okay.
memory.
Speaking of Sean Richardson.
I don't need to watch the tape.
And speaking of Jared Bush. Let's talk special teams, shall we?
Oh, is Brian Caravu here? What happened?
Let me tell you something. Slide back, listen to the news here. How much time we got?
All not right. much.
Right, I'll make it brief.
We're on special teams. You better make it brief.
First of all, I am officially worried about Tim Mastay. All the end of last year, kind of last 2 months of the season, not great. And he went away, and you thought, okay, he'll go away, and he'll get rested up, and he'll come back. And it wasn't really a storyline at all offseason. You know, I kind of mentioned it to a few people, and no one really felt kind of concerned about it. And, okay, well, let's get here now, and here we go, and get to camp, and Mastay has got, he's got some competition from the college kid. And then the college kid gets cut, and there are whispers that he was a jerk because Bob McGinn wrote about one line about it in one little freaking piece. And it was like, was a jerk.
Okay, how does Bob McGinn know who a jerk is?
Well, apparently someone told him that has a divisive
yes,
personality.
Yes, someone told him, because I'm like... Yeah. I can't, of all the things, Bob McGinn not knowing what other people's personalities are, I just can't see that being the one.
So, okay, so then like the punter gets let go, and okay, we're sticking with Mastay, and Mastay has continually stunk up the joint all summer, including the game against the Eagles. I'm officially worried, all right? The Bucks cut a punter today, and the Dolphins cut a punter who can actually kick and boot the ball. He had a 58-yarder this past weekend in their preseason game. Let's go look at those guys because I'm getting real nervous. And then, like, that's the simple part. Like, that's the one. That's the thing where it's like, oh, God, here we go again with the punter. You remember what a freaking, pardon my French, shit show it was the last time around with the letting go of John Ryan and then Frost and then, oh, my God, and Mastay came along and you thought, okay, we've kind of solved it. Now Mastay is a major problem, and oh my God, here we go again. That's all minor compared to the absolute clown car that is Ron Zook's special teams unit. All right, I understand that they have lots of guys. I understand that it's preseason training camp. There are lots of moving parts. I don't see other teams having these issues with the Packers have year in and year out, and then against the Eagles. They had to call a timeout because they were going to get flagged for 12 men on the field. All right?
Yeah, but that happened.
12 men on the field.
They've had 12 men on the field last year.
Yeah, that happens, right? All right?
What happened to them six times last year?
On the very next, when they actually got back out on the field and kicked the ball, you know how many people they had on the field then?
12.
10. They got out of a timeout for having too many men on the field. Oh, whew, thank God we dodged that bullet. You know, just to be sure, let's play with 10. Okay, now, I know what you're saying. I hear you out there, Packer fans. You're like, Aaron, come on, it's preseason.
Yeah,
okay,
and plus,
let it go.
Do you remember Sean Slocum? Yeah,
I totally remember Sean
Slocum.
Like,
just take a beat.
This is a continuation.
Take a beat.
Everything that everyone worried about when it was like, oh, they're promoting from within. They're keeping most of Slocum's stuff. Like, it's just about the personalities and the coaching, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, my God. Then, you know what happened later in the game? I think two series later? They punted with 10 again!
Yeah, but it's
a... It's a brave new strategy from Ron. The Zucker's going to take us into the 21st century with some brand new stuff. Punting with 10, the new book from Ron Zuck. Order yours today. Like, what in the holy hell? Get your head out of your ass on special teams.
I mean, here's the thing, though. If they have another coach who cannot coach special teams, it says something about...
Somebody. Something. I don't
know. It says something about the head coach.
Well, yeah.
They don't emphasize special teams enough, maybe.
Or they just don't. They don't have a good system, and they need to bring in brand new freaking ideas and a brand new coach and somebody who Mike's not all that familiar with and not all that comfortable with to shake things up. Because right now, it's a clown car. All right.
Good luck with that, by the way. Good luck with that. I think Title Town Development has a better chance of being very successful than that happening.
All right, you ready?
No. Yeah, I'm ready.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere!
That's right! It's the return of This Week in the Packer Blogosphere! The return of that venerable series. Corey, I know you're a big fan of ESPN, the magazine. Okay, that's like being sarcastic. That's probably the opposite of that. But you really should either pick up this month's issue and or go read it online, because there is an absolutely brilliant piece by Ian O'Connor, one of their lead writers, about Bart Starr and about Bart Starr and his family and their determination to have Bart walk across Lambeau Field on Thanksgiving night to be there when Brett Favre's number is retired. I'm getting chills just saying this stuff.
I want to see that.
I mean,
I really want to see that.
I cannot recommend this enough. I put up a quick post this afternoon linking to it, so you can find it on our site if you can't find it in ESPN's gargantuan site that they have over there. I've got the link up. It is absolutely superlative work. Mr. O'Connor has done an outstanding job capturing not only, you know, the connection between Bart and the Packers and his wife Sherry and them trying to make sure that he's at Lambeau. He was sick just as recently, I guess, as last week, where he had a very high fever and had to go to the hospital. But now he's back in rehab and he's you know, doing everything he can to make sure that he can be there on Thanksgiving night. And it's just going to be such a special event to have, obviously, Mr. Starr, Brett Favre, and Aaron Rodgers under one roof for, let's face it, probably one last time.
Yeah.
It will be, I mean, you have that picture right there of Aaron and Bart. We were there last year when he won the Bart Starr Award. I mean, that was a very special moment. It was great to be there. You put those three guys in the same place, and it's just going to be electric. It's just the holy trinity of Packers quarterbacks. You know, I can't recommend the piece enough, is what I'm saying.
I mean, got to give it up for Arnie Herber, though. FYI.
Oh, and Lynn Dickey. Come on.
Well, Arnie Herber is number four, so.
Well, yeah, I agree. And then Lynn Dickey.
I don't know.
We'll have that argument another time. We're honoring Mr. Starr right now.
Yes.
Bart. There's Bart and Brett.
The greatest. No, the greatest.
He is the greatest. And it's funny because his son said, you know, when he saw Brett play, he said, that's the best quarterback Green Bay's ever had. And then Aaron came along and he said, those are the two best. Like, I could never do what they do. And, of course, that's Bart Starr being humble.
Yeah. Meanwhile, yeah, he won a lot of championships.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, he's on the team that won three championships in a row.
Because he's kind of good.
Yeah.
Anyway, make sure you check it out. Like I said, I can't recommend it enough. It's just an absolutely outstanding piece. And anything I could say right now will not do it justice. Just go and read it.
Anything you say about cornerbacks won't do it justice either, by the way.
Okay. That's what I think of that. Anyway, but finally, before we go, because I think we're wrapping it up, but we have to mention our friends at Legends of the Field.
Legends of the Field, one of our biggest sponsors of all time now.
Yeah, absolutely. They've come on board.
Nick at Legends of the Field, want to give a shout out to him.
Shout out, Nick.
They've been great so far. They're doing giveaways. We're doing giveaways all week, all season long. Autograph stuff,
mini helmets.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Like, they have every player. Like, I'll look crazy. And it'll be like Clay Matthews doing a signing for the entire day, and then it's totally legit. We're actually becoming a little bit too legitimate. It's kind of freaking me out.
It's kind of scary. But make sure you visit legendsofthefield .com.
Make sure we do this segment before we start drinking beer.
Yeah, that's good. But make sure you visit. Make sure you take a look around. You can see both of their.
I think you should say visit 10 times.
Make sure you visit.
There you go. Nice. Good job.
Just trying to plug the sponsor, man. Just trying to give them the deliverables. You know, I'm trying to be a good host here. I mean, you're making fun of me.
The key word is trying.
Yeah, well, that's true. Good point. Well, that'll do it for this week's episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who joined us on the live chat. Sorry we didn't get to your lovely chatting today. Corey's usually over there. Watching and
no, I was looking.
Feeding us.
Alan
stuff.
Was talking about deer camp and yeah, it was boring me.
It's normal stuff. I get you. You guys do help make this a unique fan experience. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for following us on Twitter and Facebook. Thanks for reading the site and watching this ridiculous show.
And we're back every week now.
Every week. Yeah, this is it. Now we're in for the long haul. Hopefully next week we'll have a guest. We're going to have a guest this week, but then we had to switch days. Because of my stupid job, but hopefully next week, pretty good guest. I'm pretty excited about it. So stay tuned for that. Thanks for being here. Thanks for sticking with Cheesehead TV, cheeseheadtv.com.
New app coming out this week. I'm telling you right now.
Did you just drop that?
Gonna be launching it this week.
Wow.
I know everybody's like, yeah, you're full of crap. And you know what? Just like he's full of crap about cornerbacks, I'm not full of crap about the app.
We'll see.
Wednesdays, Alan.
Wednesdays usually, unless, you know, whatever.
Wednesdays,
comes up.
Unless, you know.
Life happens. But Wednesdays more often than not. That's why we're here, because you guys, thank you so much. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packer fans worldwide. Go, Pack, go.
Peace.
In terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out, any of that can be used in any positive way whatsoever.
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason. Okay? I appreciate that.
What do you think you told the critics tonight?